League of Ireland Late Night
on Off the Ball.
But anyways, give me 2 minutes to talk about Shales. Remember Gareth McLean coming on here before? What if Derry go ahead of Shales? And I remember saying to him, Derry haven't won anything.
League of Ireland Late Night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.
Minutes past 8, delighted to welcome the Olympian, Stacey Flood, to the studio. Stacey, how are things?
Yeah, it's the first time anyone's ever said that.
I know, like an Olympian, that's pretty cool.
It's a bit weird, but yeah.
How does it feel to be an Olympian?
I suppose like it doesn't really change it as a person, so it's just something that you've done along the way. But yeah, it is pretty incredible to represent Ireland at the Olympics. So,
especially after the heartbreak of a couple of qualification attempts, like I think it's yourself and only a couple of others on the panel maybe that have been through all of those. Like that must give you a bit of scar tissue, but also plenty of motivation as well.
Yeah, it was definitely worth the wait for the experience anyway, and I think that it was myself, Amy Lee, Lucy and Ashley Baxter, now Orchard, who were there for the last two that we didn't qualify for. So it made it all the sweeter for us this time, I think.
How do you assess the performances, the Olympics as a whole, how it actually went on the pitch?
Yeah, on the field, I think we're a bit disappointed with our performances and just how the bounce of the ball went. And I think that's just sevens and it's hard. It's such a hard sport and it's so hard, the ups and downs in it. But yeah, we'll definitely have to have a look at our performances when we go back in, because our prep was so good and everything leading up to the point was really good. And I think just a few key things in games didn't go our way and just ended up on the bad end of a draw.
And what was it like to run out in the Stade de France and all the atmosphere, the noise? Like, it was incredible scenes watching it on TV, the amount of people in the stadium for you as a player. What was that like?
Yeah, like it was unbelievable. I don't think I've ever heard a crowd so loud. Just the experience of it. I think when we were playing France, especially on that, I was going to say Sunday morning because usually we play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but I think it was a Tuesday morning. It was crazy. Like, I've actually felt the ground shaking, and it's the first time I've ever noticed screaming or actual crowd noise in a game, because usually you're so concentrated that I was like, oh my god, the ground is actually shaking because of the noise. Wow. I was like, it's crazy.
And did that affect you at all, do you think? Because obviously you're well used to playing in big tournaments.
Yeah, we play in big tournaments and we do play in front of big crowds. Obviously that was a record breaking crowd of, I think it was actually 69,000 one of the days, which is incredible for a women's sporting event. And I was sceptical at the start when they split the men and women's up, just because we're so used to playing at the same time that I was like, oh, it's going to be really weird to just have a full women's tournament, because we haven't done that in a few years. And God, wasn't it amazing? Like, I was like, 69,000 people. And to be honest, like, the Irish crowd is incredible and you could hear them the whole time, but the French were on for everyone, no matter who you were playing. Like, they were supporting everybody, and it was unbelievable to go out there and the ground shake underneath you because someone's scoring a try or someone's making a chase back tackle. It was incredible thinking back to it. Like,
yeah, amazing.
It seemed like a festival, because Ger was at it, our own Ger Gilroy from here, and he was saying like it was one of the best atmospheres he had experienced.
Yeah, like it's definitely like a festival, and it wasn't your typical sevens festival. Like, the tournaments are usually like a bit of a party and a bit of a dress up, but there was actually no drink sold in the stadium.
Right.
So it actually kept people in their seat and like kept them watching games. And I think just the whole city just lit up for the Olympics, and the Stade de France was on fire the whole week. Like,
And all your friends and family, I'm sure, were over.
Oh yeah, everyone and their mums was over to see us playing. You could differentiate the families between their tops they were wearing, whether it was like a Lucy Mulhall rock top or it was an Amy Lee top. Everyone had like tops for the players they were there for, which is quite cute. But yeah, my whole family came over, and some of my aunties and my friends, and yeah, the support from home was incredible. I'd say there was over, at least like 200 to 300 people travelling, just families. Like,
really?
I'd say if not more. They have like a family WhatsApp group that was hopping the whole week. But
oh, that's so good. Yeah. So this is like the other moms and dads, everyone together.
Everyone. And even like friends, everyone is in the group. So they have it all year round, but the amount of people added in just for Paris, yeah.
Oh, wow. Like you definitely can see that the group is so close. I know you're bridesmaids and stuff for some of the girls and stuff. Like it is amazing to see that and have these experiences then at an Olympic Games. Like you'll treasure memories like this.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's what makes it so special that we are so close, and that's why we work so hard for each other on the field. Yeah, I was a bridesmaid last year for Lucy, and me and Lucy are actually bridesmaids this year for Amy Lee Murphy Crowe Costigan. I'll give her a little shout out there. She with all her names. But yeah, we just got to pick our dresses last week, which is really exciting. So having that on field and off field connection, and even the younger girls, like they call me Auntie Stacey, but I'd say I'm like an older sister rather than auntie.
It's got a ring to it, actually, yeah.
Honestly, I call them the nephews, not the nieces. I feel like I'm like the godfather.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to accept, though. Like, you're not that old at all. Like, that hits hard. I'm like,
In that team, it's a pretty young team, yeah. But I'll take it on the chin because I'm sure I was like that when I was younger. And if I can help them in any way and be part of their family, because they're like little sisters to me, so yeah.
Do you enjoy that role, the leadership role? Because like as Ashton says, you're not that old, but like in comparison to such a young team, to be a leader on that team and someone maybe in the dressing room who speaks up more so than some of the younger players, like, do you relish that sort of role?
Yeah, they're probably sick of hearing my voice, but no, I think what's good about our team is that everyone has a voice, and it's good to have that because you should be able to speak up in a room and share your opinion and show that everyone is valued, because I think in some teams it's hard to speak up, and I think that's what's so good about our team. If you have an opinion or you have something you want to say about the game, you can say it. Obviously there's always going to be more predominant voices in the changing room, and people are just going to be personality wise more confident in speaking, but I think with our team it's good to hear a lot of voices in the changing room, and everyone's so passionate and wants it so much that, yeah, it'd be hard not to talk.
Did you get to experience Paris at all as a team? Were there tourist attractions visited? Was there time off, or was it all go?
It was pretty much all go, but like the time off we spent just enjoying the village. So we actually spent a week and a half in Tours for our pre-camp, where the men's 15s did theirs for the World Cup. Just so lovely. It's right. So lovely there. If you're going to go, I'd go there. It's so nice. But then in Paris, it was like, we knew there would be a lot to see in the village and a lot that people wanted to do and experience. So the first day we got in the evening, and then the next day we had off. It was like our down day, so like our weekend. And we just spent that exploring the village, kind of getting it out of our system before going into game mode. So we were quite lucky that we had that day to kind of see everything, do what we wanted to do, because there is so much in the village to do. So we kind of did that, and then it was game mode from then on, or weekend kind of over, yeah.
I know I spoke to you before about Ashley Orchard, and we mentioned like sort of having more experienced players and that coming in. Like to see her journey and coming back after giving birth, and she'd given birth 7 months previous and she came back into training in that February, and then to make the Olympic Games, it's just an incredible story. And for her to achieve that, like to go on and be able to achieve that and have her daughter there, is just magic.
Oh, honestly, like Arabella is just such a gem. She's such a good child. She'd make you want to have kids. Like, and I wouldn't say that lightly, but we call her Baxter, sorry. We call Ashley Baxter, so I'm just going to keep referring to her as Baxter. But yeah, to see her, but even before she left, she like really struggled with some injuries and was nearly going to have to retire through injury. So to see her make her way back after having Arabella was just, oh, it's so magical, like to have her there. And then to see what that can afford her maybe in the future, that, or anyone else looking to have kids and then come back playing, to show that that's a possibility. And even within sevens, like it's such a hard sport anyway, like to do that 7 months after having a baby. If there was anyone going to do it, it was probably going to be Baxter, to be fair. But yeah, to show that that's a pathway for women who want to keep playing, or who it's more sustainable to actually go and do is such a milestone in the sport and for women's sport and women's rugby. And I think the RFU and Team Ireland did it really well and supported Ashley as much as they could, and Arabella and Johnny, her husband. So, it was so good to see Arabella there in the stadium and Baxter playing. And I think she's announced her retirement from sevens now. But she started the last game at the Olympics, and I think that was just such a lovely thing, like, to have her on the field. And then for her to go and get Arabella out of the crowd, like, it's moments you don't see often, and no. Hopefully we see some more of them, because it was pretty special. Like,
yeah, because you think for women in sport, you're always maybe thinking about that. If you're wanting to have family and you're playing at this high level, can you make it happen that you can do both? And I think to see someone like that get the support, I think, is the most important thing, that the RFU sort of allowed her to have Arabella in there. Like, I know she was around, like, the camps and things like that she's able to still be a mother but play at this high level. Like, I'm sure that's inspiring to so many now, that, look, this is possible. You don't just have to quit. You don't have to quit just because you want to have a family. I think it's such a good message for sport in general.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's, like, it was even such a good distraction for us having the Arabella around, because you're so, when you're away and you're in it, like, you're so in it, you're spending, like, 24 hours a day with each other. You're rooming together, you're eating together, everything's, like, planned. And, like, we love that, but also at the other end, like, it is good to have, like, a little outlet. And I think Arabella was so great this year to have around in camps and on trips, because, like, when you're spending time with her, that's all you're thinking about, because she's, like, the cutest baby ever.
the first game, Stacey, must have been such a buzz, because South Africa were Olympic debutants as well. To get that big win, 38-0, and I think you scored a try in the second half as well. Like, that must have been, because you're full of hope at that point and optimism, but even just to get that first game nerves out of the way, get a big win and score a try as well, must have been nice.
Yeah, I wish that was our first game. Under the radar, we lost to GB. Yes. But the South Africa game was a really good game for us. Like, we just came into it, I think we kind of shook off our nerves a bit, and it's kind of like, right, now it's just a normal tournament. Like, we need to just get over this, like, Olympics, and just go and play how we play. And I think that's what we did against South Africa, and it was great to get a 38-0 match against them. And then even our other games, like, every game was so competitive. Like, we were in every game, which even makes it harder, because the first game against GB, I think we were winning going into half time. You never really remember, to be honest, but just to have that, I think it was a 2-try turnaround just straight after half time and have the momentum swing the other way is really tough, especially in sevens, because you don't have much time to get it back. And once the momentum goes, it's so hard to grasp back, especially in the second half, if they get 14 points or 12 points on you so quickly. So I think that one was a harder pill to swallow than any of the other games, that first game. And I keep rewatching it and seeing what we did wrong. And I've probably watched the other games more than that one, because the first one actually is hurt so much because we were so close and we really had that game in our hands, and we just needed to fire a few more shots for it to come off. And I think that's what's really frustrating about it. But that sport as well, like, it owes you nothing. And I think, we would have loved to get a win, but I think all the performances we put out there were really strong, and we stayed with France, we stayed with Australia, which are, bar this tournament, the top three teams in the world. They're within that. So I think we did ourselves proud, and hopefully we can come out on the series this year and get a few more wins on different teams and really build as a squad now, because we have a few youngsters coming in, and for the next cycle, because LA 2028 will creep around really quickly for them.
It's amazing, because the young players that you mentioned as well, like, so many of them are coming through. That must be so exciting. Like, just to have that breath of fresh air as well in the panel, it really, really helps to keep the older players cool as well.
Yeah, I think there's been a few due to come in this year, which is really, really exciting. And I think even our squad now is so young, like, the lengths that they could go to still, like, is just amazing. Like, you have Erin King, who's going 21 next month, but she seems like she's been around for years. Like, I think she's already after 20 caps and she's not even 21. Like,
right.
Yeah, so I think there's so much potential and growth in that group. And I think there's just, it's limitless what they can do. Yeah.
Because Olympics wasn't, I remember speaking to you before in here, and Olympics wasn't on your radar growing up. Like, obviously you would have watched it, but as something that you aspired to take part in, like, presumably Croke Park was probably more on your radar, like, with the GAA background. It wasn't really something that...
Still haven't got to do that yet, but maybe one day with a rugby team in Croke Park, we'll see. No, 100%, like, Croke Park was my Olympics, but I suppose that's what happens when you get led down a path and you kind of just follow a journey, and this is where it's ended up, where I've been. And I think I was meant to be there, and I think it was really special to be there with the group of girls and representing Ireland, because it was really special. And I think, like, going to Paris 24, yeah, we didn't want to just participate. Like, we really had medal hopes, and I think we didn't do ourselves justice in that part, but we know how much we can give as a team. And I think it's so good to see the Irish support back home watching us and stuff. And then the 69,000 people in Stade de France for women's rugby in a whole is just incredible. So yeah, like, obviously we went to the Olympics, and like, that's such like an amazing achievement, and I'll never forget it. And the journey I've been on, and the experiences with the girls I've had, has been so incredible. And yeah, the tournament itself and the performances didn't go our way, but like, we literally left everything out there. So there's nothing else we could have done. Like,
do you think you'll get the Olympic tattoo?
Yeah, people have already put into the groups and where they're gonna. I just think it's really hard to decide what type and where to put it.
Do you have any other tattoos?
I just have the B tattoo. I don't know if I've explained that to you before, but that was when we qualified.
Oh, brilliant.
And we had this, like, whole B mantra kind of with our sports psychologist, Siobhan. So we all have B tattoos from when we qualified for the Olympics.
Brilliant.
Because obviously it's such a big, like, thing for our team to do for the first time. And yeah, we had like a be together, be buzzing, and be present. And then we were like going to swarm everybody. And so then that's how we qualified, was through this, like, just anchoring down on something. So we did that for Toulouse, which was the tournament we qualified in. So we all have B tattoos.
And then you have to get the rings.
Oh, you have to back
yourself, yeah. I just don't know where to get them or what type, because there's like colour. I don't think I'll get colour, but there's colour or skinny lines or thick lines or arm or leg or... There's just so many options. It's too hard.
We could all go together.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll get it done in Los Angeles, maybe. Oh, is he going to wait that long?
I don't know if I'll be around then. We'll see how the body holds up. It doesn't look likely for me. But never say never, I suppose.
Yeah.
Don't tell my coach that, though. He'll be buzzing to hear me say that. Yeah. I've been saying no.
I know. You have to keep it on the long finger for now.
Yeah, well, literally.
Stacey, it was brilliant watching you. And even I remember watching the Australian game in particular, like, Madison Levi. Like, what's she like to come up against? Because I was watching that game going, this girl is insane.
Yeah, and do you know what's even more annoying is that she's actually a really nice person.
Yeah. You prefer if you wasn't.
I'm like, oh, she's such a nice person. No, she's like a once in a generation. I think she's only started coming into herself in the last 2-3 years, and she did go to the last Olympics, but she was a bolter. She wasn't even contracted for Australian rugby at the time. And they obviously saw her talent, and I think it's amazing what she's doing for the sport, because she is, like, everyone does know her name now, and she is an ex, like, Portia Woodman-esque. I think she's an incredible athlete, and I think she'd be good at whatever she did. But to come up against her, yeah, good luck tackling her. She's needs 2 or 3 to get her down, which isn't very good for any other team that she plays against. But yeah, I think she's going to put her hand up for the 15s now as well. So a few of us will transfer over too, and that's really exciting. The year that's in it, like, having qualified for, the girls having qualified for WXV1 this year, and then the World Cup next year, have already been qualified for that, which is in the UK. So hopefully we get more people behind the 15s girls as well, and they can have a good year and a good lead up, because it's really exciting for both squads how they built this year. And we're actually really successful with the 15s qualifying for both of them tournaments. And then with us going to the Olympics and finishing well on the series and winning a series event in Perth, I think it's on the up. And I do think that the crossover is starting to work, and I think people are starting to see that, and I think it's positive for women's rugby to have players playing both, and because we don't have the biggest player pool, and hopefully that does change and more people come playing. But I think at the minute, like, it does work, and I think if it can work, it's such an opportunity for Irish rugby and for women who play.
Absolutely. Stacey, brilliant to chat to you. It's a wonderful accomplishment to be an Olympian, something that us mere mortals will never experience. So so well done, and you should be really proud of yourself. And the next time we have you, you'll have the Olympic rings tattooed in your forehead, possibly. That'll be an interesting one. Thanks for coming in, Stacey.
Thank you. Cheers.
Much appreciated. Stacey Flood there with us.
League of Ireland late night on Off the Ball.
But anyways, give me 2 minutes to talk about Shales. Remember Gary McLean coming on here before? What if Derry go ahead of Shales? And I remember saying to him, Derry haven't won anything.
League of Ireland late night, live every Friday from 10 on Twitter Spaces.